Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
David Cobb is college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. He joins now via the phone line. David, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, Gabe. I'm coming at you live from the left center field bleachers at Yankee Stadium.
Oh,
in the Bronx.
Wow.
So a little bit of a curveball there. I don't think you were expecting that, but
no.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah.
Well, I will say that buzzer sound is not on behalf of me. That's on behalf of Connor Dunning, a staunch Red Sox fan.
Hey, it's a historic venue, right? So I've been to Wrigley.
The old one was.
It's a new one that is the exact same as the old one, the idea of it.
It's just easier to hit home runs.
We just walked through Monument Park, which is cool, right? Like seeing Mariano Rivera, the 9/11 Memorial. By the way, we're here the week of 9/11, so that's significant. You're right. It is not the place where Babe Ruth played. This is not where Derek Jeter rose to stardom, right? But it is Yankee Stadium, you know? So anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah. So Yankees, they have the Royals. Royals here in a bit.
It's actually like two contenders. I'm not really all that up on baseball because, you know, there's this little thing called college football that's started up. So my baseball tracking has tapered off. But, you know, we're in New York City. I've never been to a Yankees game. So, yeah, I mean, why not, right? It just so happens we got two teams that are in the race in the American League.
All right. Now, speaking of college football, holler at me about Notre Dame. What the hell was that? 16-14, Northern Illinois, the old Huskies. I mean, I can go back to my recruiting days. Dave Dorn was there. I know that they've had some success, but it's tapered off the past few years. That was as surprising an outcome as I've seen, I don't know, past couple of years.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a 30-point spread before the kickoff. Notre Dame begins the season with a 10-point win on the road against Texas A&M. Which, according to EA Sports, you know, Kyle Field's the toughest place to play in America.
Yeah.
Now we got to reevaluate what we think about Texas A&M, right?
Right.
Because they lost at home by double digits to a team that then lost at home to Northern Illinois.
Did you see the Marcus Freeman comment? He said we bought into our hype. He's trying to play the trap game card. Come on.
It isn't.
We're not doing that with Northern Illinois.
No, I know. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good excuse, but it's true. I mean, look at Penn State. They crushed West Virginia in week one, and then they came out and almost lost to a MAC team as well. So it wasn't just – oh, and then look at LSU. I mean, nobody watched that LSU game on Saturday, but they were bad against Nichols for a half before they finally got it together, but they could still never run the ball. I mean, LSU couldn't run the ball against Nichols after they lost to USC on Sunday night. So that there were a lot of letdown games and trap spots. You know, the only difference is that Notre Dame was the only one to actually lose in that spot, which is totally inexcusable. And, man, wow, what a heel turn to go from winning on the road at A&M to then losing at home against Northern Illinois. That offense is bad. I mean, Riley Leonard and then those receivers, they've got nothing. I mean, they look as bad in the passing game as Michigan does. So that's a problem.
I am officially here, and I've been sort of sitting on this for at least a little bit. I thought the Riley Leonard to Notre Dame thing would work out. Is he just overrated as a college football quarterback? We were talking about this guy potentially going to Bama a couple of years ago to be their starting quarterback. We were talking about this guy as a potential NFL draft prospect. I just don't see it. He can't throw the ball very well, and he never has been able to throw the ball well. He's had a redeeming quality with being athletic, though.
Yeah, sure. He's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels without the throwing ability. I mean, he can't put the ball on a guy's chest, and that's ultimately why Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels were first-round draft picks, is because they can throw the football, and of course, they have the athleticism. Riley Leonard, he has the athleticism, at least for now. I mean, mind you, he's coming off of a pretty serious ankle injury, but he can't throw the ball accurately enough. He doesn't have enough chemistry with a totally new group of transfers there in the wide receiver core at Notre Dame. And, oh, by the way, Notre Dame also has a new offensive coordinator. So what you're seeing is the classic case of you've got a team that has a whole bunch of new places and or new faces in key roles, and it's not clicking for them early in the season. And we're seeing that around the country in college football right now. It's just it hasn't resulted in such a magnificent upset elsewhere as it did for Notre Dame, and that is inexcusable, and it's one that's going to really come back to haunt them because it's probably going to keep them out of the college football playoff.
But I do get reminded after games like that why we do really love games where we see upsets. Seeing Thomas Hammack and the head coach for Northern Illinois, and because he played there, like he wants to see real success for that program, and that's one of the biggest upset ever probably in their program's history. To see his emotions after that game made everything worth it.
For sure. I heard a stat recently that the MAC was 0-50 or thereabouts against top five opponents prior to that game. 0-50.
That's not good.
It's not. And the MAC finally gets that big marquee victory. I mean, that one goes down, in my mind, in the same category as Appalachian State over Michigan. And I realized that at the time, Appalachian State was 1AA, which is now FCS. And, of course, Northern Illinois is a legitimate FBS team. But in this era with the portal and how hard it is for those lower-tier FBS schools to keep their players, that's what stood out to me more than anything was how Thomas Hammack was preaching that this is a family and that these guys have been working together. And that was the difference for Notre Dame, is that Riley Leonard, as much as we want to do these great hype stories with Pete Thamel about how he and his receivers spent time on the boat in Fairhope, Alabama over the offseason.
Right.
It doesn't translate. Like, anyway. So, that was cool. And that was the biggest win, not only in Northern Illinois history, but maybe in MAC football history.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Notre Dame. Better be careful. You have another MAC team coming up in Miami of Ohio. Don't want to slip up there either. But for them,
they're one of the better MAC teams too. So you really better.
I'm not buying Notre Dame in the playoff anymore after that. There are no more slip up opportunities, but there are opportunities to slip up the rest of their schedule. If you can't beat Northern Illinois, there's a lot of teams you can lose to on that schedule.
Sure, Purdue, Louisville, and then you close with USC. And USC looks really good through 2 weeks. Their defense actually looks like it's improved, like it's better. So, yeah, it's the margin for error is 100% gone for Notre Dame because I can't see a two-loss Notre Dame team with one of those losses being at home to Northern Illinois. I can't see that team getting into the playoff unless, there's just a lot of other mitigating circumstances elsewhere in the country that make their path easier.
Now, I know some people were surprised by the game I'm about to discuss, but I want to go from the most surprising thing to probably the least surprising thing for me. Texas beating Michigan the way they did. I saw that coming from a mile and a half away.
We talked about it on Friday. I think we were pretty spot on with the way we evaluated that game, which is basically that Michigan doesn't have a passing attack whatsoever. Texas entered as more than a touchdown favorite, and they just annihilated Michigan on third downs in particular. That was shocking to see Michigan's defense exploited in that way. And then Michigan is just not a team that is equipped to play from three touchdowns behind. I mean, they're a team that's built around their defense and their run game, and you got a former walk-on there at quarterback, and there is just no juice, no pop whatsoever in that passing game.
Yep, I believe in Texas now. I was cold on them coming into the season. If you'll remember, I'm back with them. I believe in them as a very, very scary team. By the end of the year in the SEC, we'll see what they're able to do. Now there's another team in the SEC. Tennessee, 51-10. That defense, like my biggest truth, that defense is an SEC defense. They look faster, stronger, and bigger than anything NC State could do.
Right, specifically up front. I still think there's some teams on Tennessee's schedule that could exploit their secondary.
Sure.
Where they've got a ton of young players. They're starting Drew Carter, who's a true freshman. So on the back end of that defense, Tennessee is exploitable. NC State was not the team to reveal those weaknesses, though, because Grayson McCall mainly wants to throw underneath. He mainly wants to hit KC Concepcion and get him into open field. But the linebackers are fast enough for Tennessee to take that away. And then the defensive front, man, they just had a field day against that NC State offensive line. It was not a fair fight. James Pierce was in the backfield all the time. And then they had the depth and the horses to roll several guys in there and just keep NC State from ever getting into second and manageable or third and manageable. After their first series, I mean, NC State really couldn't move the football at all. And that was what was most impressive about that performance. Everybody's probably going to look at that final score and think that Nico went for 400 yards, but that was not the case. He threw two interceptions. He was just all right. It was the Tennessee defense that really really made a statement.
And we do this, like, there's misconceptions about those two programs I always bring up in the same vein in the SEC, Ole Miss and Tennessee, offensive head coaches. You have to worry about the defense catching up. But there is a misconception. Dylan Sampson, their running game, like, that's what those teams really need to do to get over the top, and it feels like they have that. Tennessee on the offensive side of the ball, decent, a pretty solid offensive line, really good running back in Dylan Sampson, 200 yard performances to start the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Need him to stay healthy. I don't know that I love the depth in Tennessee's running back room. I mean, they've got Cam Seldon back there as well. Dylan Sampson put on some weight over the offseason, which Herbie talked about on the broadcast, and that's important because you watch him last year, he was sort of their third guy, their change of pace, the scat back, the guy who was the most shifty of the group. This year, he's the workhorse, though. So, you know, can he
20 carries a game? I don't know.
Yeah, right. That's a concern for Tennessee. But he sure looked good against NC State, man. And that offensive line is doing its job. And Nico just looks on time. He looks on time with his reads. Now, he had a couple of misfires. That was, that was a big spot for him, right? It's only his third career start. Neutral game, neutral site game against a ranked opponent. Spotlight game with Kirk Herbstreit there, right? So he wasn't perfect, but their offensive line was phenomenal. The run game was great. And I thought Nico was at least – he looked comfortable. He looked like he knew what he was doing. Now, he wasn't perfect in the execution, but he just looked more settled in that spot than Joe Milton did a year ago. And so, yeah, a lot to be encouraged about, you know, for Tennessee in that game. Now you've got the letdown spot against the MAC team, though, because you handled your big early season test. Now you got Kent State coming into town before you kick off SEC play. So, you know, can they go out and play a good first half against Kent State, be up 38-0? Yeah, if so, then I start to think about Tennessee and, you know, in a different type of light. But if they go out there against Kent State, follow up the big win over NC State with being up 7-3 at halftime or something, then you know, then you kind of gotta wonder whether or not they're really arrived at this point.
Now, peek into my weekend really quick. I had my dad in town. We watched the Tigers game. We got over to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Ja was there. That was really cool to see. But that was an easy win. But then we did plan the night around watching the Colorado game because my dad's a Colorado alum and he wants to see what this team actually looks like. And the Colorado Nebraska game means something to him. But that was just a butt whooping. First half is all Nebraska really needed to get over top and go win that game 28-10. And really what started creeping into the conversation me and my dad were having is, what is this tenure actually going to look like for Coach Prime when it's all said and done? I have real, real doubts. I don't know if that's going to be a bowl team this year. The rest of the schedule is going to be tough to manage. And I just don't think they have gotten better in the places they needed to get better. I know we've had that conversation, but they have not made the real improvements you wanted to see from year one to year two under Coach Prime.
Well, first off, I'm glad Memphis won so that, like, you and your pops could have something to celebrate.
Yes.
Since I had no idea he's a Colorado alum.
Yeah.
Has he been, like, on Team Dion? Or, like, I'm curious, like, what
yeah,
is
I mean,
Colorado?
He is a very realistic fan of Colorado. He definitely thinks it's more style than substance, because it is. You know what I mean? It's definitely more style than substance. But he has been happy with the fact that there's actually hype around the program, people caring about it again. But that type of thing wears off quickly if you're not winning ball games.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. So I've got my doubts about where it goes from here for Colorado, because they're so one-dimensional. They have no running game. And when they go three and out quickly, they put a lot of pressure on a defense that's just not ready to handle what a team like Nebraska can throw at them. So that's the problem, is when you get off, when you're forced out of the field, off the field quickly, you make your defense defend 10 or 11 times over the course of a ball game, you're going to get worn down and you're going to get beat. And that's kind of where it's at for Colorado, because if they can't get the ball into the hands of their playmakers in open space and let those guys get big chunks, then they're done. And Nebraska was really great at taking away those big chunk plays for that star group of receivers.
Yeah, and the problem is being the most exciting 4-8 or 5-7 team does not work over the long haul. You know what I mean? You can be as exciting as you possibly want with you know, great top-end talent with Shedeur Sanders, and I thought Travis Hunter was unbelievable yet again, 10 catches for 110 yards. But again, you can't just be an exciting 5-7 team not making bowl games if you expect to stay there or get another job, which I think Dion, that ultimately, I wonder if that was ultimately his plan, to turn this thing around quickly, two-year, three-year stay, maybe end up at Florida State if all that went badly.
Sure. So, I mean, hey, I'm still of the opinion that if you were somehow to pull out six victories this season, I'm not predicting that. I don't think it's going to happen. But if he did it,
it's a huge win.
It would be a really good coaching job to take over a team that was as bad as Colorado was before he got the job, then go win four games in year one and six games in year two. I mean, that would be tangible on-field results in a very impressive way for a program that had been down bad before he got there. I just struggle to see that happening, though, when you've got Shedeur Sanders still taking 10, 15 big hits every game behind a shaky offensive line, and you got Travis Hunter playing well over 100 snaps per game, often at altitude, and those two are your team. That is not a sustainable formula in the Big 12, which has become a very physical, a very demanding league. It's not the Big 12 of 2011 where everybody spreads it out. And they throw the football around, and it's more of a finesse conference. Colorado is one of the only teams in the conference now that does that. Everybody else is going to test you physically and really wear you down. And so, yeah, I don't see it. I think they're a great 7-on-7 team. They've got some amazing skill talent, just amazing skill talent on that team. I think a lot of those receivers are going to play in the NFL. Travis Hunter might play in the NFL in multiple, you know, facets of the game. Shedeur Sanders will probably play in the NFL at quarterback, maybe even start early in his NFL career. But as a team, with the holes that Colorado squad has on the offensive and defensive line, you know, like I mentioned, six wins would be incredible if Deion Sanders is able to manufacture that with this group.
Yeah, and did you see the report? And I believe this has been thrown away recently, but there was the report about Deion. After a touchdown pass from Shedeur Sanders, the band was told not to play the fight song, instead play his song Perfect Timing, Shedeur Sanders' Perfect Timing song.
Yeah.
They did say it was false, right? I think I saw that earlier.
It's funny, the bands are at war across the country. Did you see that Florida State apparently told the band, yeah, not to do the war chant? I had a so one of my best stories that I broke at Tennessee when I was a student journalist, just cutting my teeth back in the day. Similar thing. The Tennessee band like basically went on strike because Butch Jones and the football program had asked them to stop playing the official team fight song down the field, you know, at certain moments and all this. It's always kind of funny to me when the band gets in a fight with the football team. So I have no doubt that it happened. That seems like perfectly Colorado, but not even unique to Colorado. Like that stuff actually happens a fair amount in college football.
Yeah. Now Memphis football looked a lot better this week, and it was good to see them look that good, sort of workmanlike against Troy heading into this weekend, right?
You gotta get in and get out against Troy when you're going down to Tallahassee. You can't afford to be in a four quarter physical knockdown, drag out, you know, fight that just takes a lot of emotion and physical toll on you, because you got to be near your peak performance to go down to Tallahassee. And I realize this Florida State team is not what we thought it was going to be. It's not even close to what it was a year ago. But you got to be, you know, if you're Memphis as a group of five team, you got to be close to your peak going down there. And so, in that sense, you know, a relatively drama-free victory over Troy is kind of exactly what the doctor ordered there. So,
yep.
Yeah, that was nice to see them get out, handle business. They got pushed a little bit in the first half, but nothing really to write home about or be afraid about. And, now it is
a big week.
Monumental task. It's huge. I mean, I kind of get – Gabe, you get like a little bit of a butterfly feeling
when course.
You start thinking about – Yeah,
of course.
Right.
And, yeah, well, and here's the thing. It kind of – it is just a it's a tougher spot with a not very good Florida State team than I wanted it to be. We talked about it not being a free shot anymore, but now you do have to take into consideration Florida State's going to play desperate, and they had another week of practice. It's not the best spot in the world for Memphis to go spring an upset, and I think the people in Vegas are starting to see that. They've had this line grow from – it opened at 1.5, now it's at 7.5 for Florida State.
Wow. Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
As of today.
That's interesting. Well, I wonder what Vegas knows, first off, because that's you know, I mean, that's often market-driven, but sometimes there's some insight there, you know, that we may not know about. But then also, you know, it could go the other way. I mean, you could see Florida State come out and quit. You know, this is a team that's got a lot of transfers in the starting lineup. How invested are they in a team that's really has no chance at making the college football playoff, you know? And so I don't think we can totally dismiss the possibility of Florida State, you know, really cratering this year. And, you know, it's not going to be easy, though, obviously, for Memphis going down there. I tend to agree with you. I tend to think we're going to see a motivated Florida State team. They're going to give it one last shot, I would bet. I mean,
yes.
I'm not saying that they don't quit at some point this year, but I doubt 0-2 is the point where they mail it in.
So, it'll be a big week for the group of five. UNLV visiting Kansas as well on Friday night. It'll be it'll be a big separator week, I think, for a lot of the group of five programs that want that college football playoff spot.
Well, and Saturday, Tulane got so close, Boise State got so close, and then Appalachian State, man, they just got blown off the field by Clemson. So, yeah, it would have been nice for the AAC if Tulane had been able to pull that out. They probably should have.
Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, at least Boise didn't get it done against Oregon because, it might have been done. Like, if Boise State wins at Oregon, it might be lights out on who gets that group of five playoff bit, because Liberty has looked like trash.
Yes.
So far this season. So, I'm of the opinion that unless Liberty starts beating people 60-0, that a two-loss AAC team or a two-loss Boise State is going to get that bid from the group of five ranks over Liberty, because, yeah, Liberty just has not looked the part.
Yeah,
and
one team you left out was South Florida, but that game we know is 28 points in the fourth quarter, but it was close going into the fourth quarter. The closest 42-16 game I've seen all year.
It was, yeah. The box score does no justice to that game. I mean, South Florida had Alabama on the ropes. That was a very nervy situation for those fans. How kind of hilarious would it have been for Alabama to lose at home to South Florida on the night they, you know, named the field after Nick Saban? Like,
that would have been really bad. And I saw they showed Nick Saban a lot on the broadcast, if you were watching, and he had his arms crossed, sort of shaking his head the whole time. He was not happy with his. I still think he feels the same guys that he had, you know, out there. He still feels like it's his team. His team did not perform very well.
Yeah, you can't can't cut that emotional tie overnight, absolutely he feels like it's his team. And you know what? He was having flashbacks because his team struggled against South Florida last year, too.
Yep. Well, I feel like part of that was a little bit of self-inflicted, not playing Jalen Milroe and playing every other quarterback you had on your roster.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I was concerning. It was concerning how, against South Florida on Saturday, Alabama's offensive line committed 9 penalties, yep. Just the offensive line, 9 penalties. They couldn't run the football to save their life until very, very late in that ballgame. I mean, at one point they had completely abandoned the traditional run. I just had Jalen Milroe out there playing a poor man's style of Caleb Williams freelance. Like, it was ugly, like what that Alabama offense resorted to for a good chunk of that game. And so that, I mean, that's concerning for me. I think there are reasons to worry about Alabama. Now, I realize that performance came without Caden Proctor,
yep.
Their star left tackle. He's going to come back. That will help a ton. But the general sloppiness that was on display there for the Crimson Tide was an issue and something they really need to get cleaned up if they're going to beat Wisconsin. Because, yeah, they're a 2-touchdown favorite this weekend, but you know, Wisconsin's a team that you don't mess around with like that and expect to win. Like, if Alabama plays like it did against South Florida, you know, they might find out against a quality Big Ten opponent on the road.
Yep. Now, final thing for David Cobb, at David W. Cobb on X, CBS Sports College Basketball and College Football. John Rothstein, did you get to read sort of the Q&A he had with Penny Hardaway?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think of the overall tone?
Really, really, really defensive, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't agree to do something like that unless he feels like he needs to defend himself. And so he did. He defended himself. He thinks he's held to a higher standard, which he is more closely watched and more closely scrutinized. But I would actually argue that he's held to a lesser standard because people are willing to give Penny Hardaway more grace than they are a Josh Pastner or a Tubby Smith. Nobody was invested emotionally in Tubby Smith, right? Maybe people were invested a little bit emotionally in Josh Pastner because he had been on staff under Calipari and they feel like they knew him and he was a nice guy. But man, people really, really are invested in Penny Hardaway and willing to make excuses for Penny Hardaway and willing to give him more time than they would give somebody else. So I don't necessarily agree with the fact that, that he's subject to criticism that other coaches wouldn't be. And he wants us to look at the record of other coaches through 6 seasons. Well, you know what? There are plenty of coaches out there who have more than one NCAA tournament victory in their first 6 seasons. And that's just the truth. So,
yeah.
It was Penny being Penny. I didn't really make much of it,
right.
More than that.
Yeah, and then the overall defensive tone, basically telling John, like, I don't know why you guys aren't you guys are surprised by all these staff changes. This happens in a lot of programs. Well, it doesn't happen 2 months before this. It's not what happened, Penny. It's how it happened. It's that simple. And it seemed like he tried to acknowledge that in the statement he gave last week after all the coaches were fired, but in that he did not do the same thing with John.
Right, and he kind of mentioned something along the lines of how he marches to the beat of his own drum. He doesn't do things in the
traditional way. Oh, we know that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's great if it works, right? But maybe if it doesn't work, maybe you should look at the way other people have done things and try to model your program after those who have been successful.
Yep.
it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing it your own way and it's not working, then maybe do it the other way that is proven to work.
That's fair
criticism. That's where the stubbornness, you know, is kind of a problem. But I think that's where Ed Skye gives him a chance, right? Like, he surrounds Penny with the types of people who can help him get things right. That at least gives Penny a chance to make some progress.
Yep, for sure. Well, David, enjoy the game. Enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hey, sorry about the organ music playing in the background.
Oh, no, it added to the ambiance. Maybe not for Connor, but for me, it added to the ambiance. And the listeners, I think they enjoyed it too. But, David, we'll talk again on Wednesday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. That's David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer from CBS Sports. And he's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store. 964 June Road is where you can find them, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Stop passing them. You pass them every day. Just go in. Go in. Off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Get your all the clothing you could possibly need. Get your Memphis polo. Get an Ole Miss polo, Tennessee polo, and the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. They have hunting and outdoor essentials on the top floor. They have sports memorabilia. They have everything you could possibly need. And also, I want to point you in the direction of the tailgating gear. If you get to the Grove or you get to Tiger Lane, make sure you get cups, coolers, koozies. They have good brands in that as well. Arctic. They have Yeti, everything you need over at Oxbow, 964 Dune Road, and online as well. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them online. Again, ShopOxbow.com. Use my promo code when you go to check out. Tell you every day. But it is The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we need to go ahead and get to a trip around the National Football League. Week one will come to a close tonight with Monday Night Football, with the Jets on the road against the 49ers, but we have plenty, plenty to discuss right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Week one is about to come to an end tonight with Monday Night Football with the Jets on the road against the 49ers, but we do need to recap a few things, so we'll do our trip around the NFL right here. Connor, hit it.
The Cleveland Browns.
All right. It's time to have a real discussion, and I've already had this. We've had this discussion in the past, but Deshaun Watson, he's not a good quarterback. He's just not. And I don't know if it's, you know, Kevin Stefanski's system doesn't fit him or he took too much time off of football, but he's been bad with the Cleveland Browns. And this was a guy who got $230 million over 5 years, all of it guaranteed. It's one of the worst contracts and worst trades as it continues to age in the history of the National Football League. And when you just sort of break down what has happened with him since he has been in a Browns uniform, 17 total TDs to 11 interceptions, 2,386 passing yards, a 78.1 rating, 59% completion percentage. He has yet to play a playoff game. When you look at the guy that he replaced, that they couldn't run out of town fast enough, Baker Mayfield, since he has left the Browns, 1-1 in the playoffs, but 44 total TDs to 18 interceptions, 6,496 yards, 90.9 rating, 63% completion percentage, and he looked like the best quarterback on the field in week one. Four TDs, no interceptions. It's insane to think what has happened with the Cleveland Browns since making that trade and paying him. And when you look at the trade, let's revisit it real quick. Deshaun Watson and a 2024 sixth-round pick for a first-round pick in 2022 that turned into Kenyon Green, their left guard. 2022 fourth-round pick that turned into running back Damian Pierce. A 2023 first-round pick that turned into Will Anderson Jr. A 2023 third-round pick that turned into Tank Dell. A 2024 first-round pick that turned into Stephon Diggs, Kamari Lassiter, and Jamal Hill. And then a fourth-round pick in 2024 that turned into a tight end by the name of Cade Stover out of Ohio State. We talk about that Bears trade with the Panthers. This one's pretty bad, too. This one's ridiculously bad on the surface of it.
The Chicago Bears.
I guess speaking of the Bears, not a good performance from Caleb Williams in week one. I don't know what to chalk that up to. But 93 yards passing, that's not what I expected. I expected a little bit more. And for a team that was hoping maybe we'll get our first 4,000-yard passer in the history of the franchise, it's not a good start. Not a good start. 14 for 29, 93 yards, zero at TDs, zero interceptions. He was sacked twice. They didn't run the ball very well. That offense was terrible. They didn't have a single offensive touchdown. Now they won because their defense really picked it up. And now I'm starting to believe, yeah, that could be a top five group in the NFL when it's all said and done. But Caleb Williams, not good. And honestly, I don't think it was just him. Like, the rest of the rookie quarterbacks in the NFL were just not good. You know, I'm a big believer, and I thought that the experience there with Bo Nix would be better, but he was 26 for 42, 138, two interceptions. Jaden Daniels for the Commanders, we expected big things out of him. 17 for 14, 184 yards. Just like the rookie quarterbacks did not look ready to go. Is that the best way to put it, Connor? They just not look like they were ready to play National Football League football.
Yes, but to be quite honest, quarterbacks in general?
I think there's a conversation that needs to be had. Quarterback play was down. We only had two 300-yard passers, and we're hoping for maybe a third or fourth tonight. It just doesn't look great.
It just feels like Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar are kind of in a different tier by themselves right now.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yep.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm just going to ask a question.
Speaking of.
I'm just going to ask a question. What the hell was that? You're at home against a Patriots team that's starting Jacoby Brissett, and you lose 16-10, and you got ran all over. I kind of expect that a little bit because their defense is no good. But Joe Burrow, very, very regular. The O-line couldn't keep him upright. I'm worried about that wrist injury and how that's affecting Joe Burrow.
It was messing with him.
He couldn't really, like, he targeted Ja'Marr Chase 6 times, 62 yards, so that looked at least somewhat normal. But Ja'Marr Chase, after the game, you see how pissed off he was?
He kept getting underthrown.
He was really mad. He was very, very frustrated with the way things went yesterday, and I get it, and he still hasn't been paid. And then Joe Burrow comes out, and he basically says, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase not being in camp, of course that affects us, affected us, and how this first game went. I'm telling you, I said this all offseason, I can make a better case for the Bengals to finish last in the division than first. I still believe in them because I've seen it in the past as the one team that can knock off the Chiefs in the playoffs. But get it going. Get it going. And I guess there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve here the first couple weeks of the season because they weren't at full strength throughout the entirety of training camp. And maybe Joe Burrow has to get used to managing that wrist week to week and getting prehab and rehab on it. But that was ugly. That was disgusting.
I'm rooting for them because I love Joe Burrow and I love that team. They're very exciting to watch when it's clicking on all cylinders. But for some reason, their first 3 or 4 weeks of every season is just chaos. You have no idea what version of the Bengals you're going to get.
Yep, 100%.
The Carolina Panthers.
God, they stink. They're so bad. They're so bad.
Dude, it was so bad.
First pass of the game from Bryce Young.
It was so bad.
What in the hell? They're like, oh my gosh. I mean, if you're a Panthers fan, just like, can we give them a free pass to switch allegiances? Good God. And here was supposed to be the difference with Bryce Young. Remember, I talked about they have a center that they signed and a right guard that they signed. Robert Hunt from the Dolphins, who made 5 years, $100 million. Ridiculous overpay. But they spent $153 million between their center and their right guard. And the thought was, okay, Bryce Young's smaller. He needs some throwing lanes. He can't have people pressed up into his face. So maybe he'll have a better season. He got sacked 4 times and everyone was in his face. The Saints got after him like I've never seen really a team get after him previously, and their O-line was supposed to be better. Bad start for Dave Canales. Horrible start for Bryce Young. And honestly, I still don't think Bryce Young's a bad quarterback. I just feel bad for the guy. He's just got an empty deck and a terrible franchise he's playing for. They have no shot of doing anything this year. I'm not saying they're going to go 0-17, but it would not surprise me. 47-10 against that Saints team, and they had Derek Carr looking like, you know, what, second or third year when he was with the Raiders playing really good ball. 19 for 23, efficient 200 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions. Then they gave up the run like crazy. Alvin Kamara came back at 83 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that team, I'm sorry. They're really, really terrible. I knew they'd be bad, but it exceeded my expectations.
It was depressing to watch. Depressing game.
What do we think about Bryce Young? I mean,
I don't know.
I was hearing the guys on Pardon My Take for Barstool kind of made me laugh. Because you try to, like, you feel so bad for Bryce Young, you try to find some redeeming quality to make you feel less bad for him in the situation. And the only thing you can come up with is, well, he's got $25 million in the bank. That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only redeeming quality about the situation.
If you made me pick right now which way I think this is going to go, I'm going to say he's not good. But it's because every single time he snaps the football, he's running for his life.
It's not fully his fault. That first play of the game, sure, maybe. Yeah, but I think there's...
Well, even then, he was having to step up because they were already back there.
There's first and second-year quarterbacks that should get a little bit of grace. I think he should get some grace, but I think they're going to ruin his career. I've seen this
his
play out a lot
of times.
His
size does worry me.
It has always worried me.
Tiny.
But if you...
Kyler's got a cannon
attached
to him.
Even with, you know, how small he is, if he had just something to work with. A functional franchise.
He's got Deontay Johnson,
If he had a functional franchise and not 80-year-old Adam Thielen trying to catch being the lead target getter. Good God. And Adam Thielen's never been fast. He's slower now. Probably runs a 5.0 40. This is terrible. This is really, really terrible. I they're not going to be favored in any game they play.
No.
But, I mean, I wonder if we're going to have a historical 0-17 season from this team, because that was as bad as it gets with a rookie coach and a quarterback that has no confidence and an O-line that's still no good and a defense that's probably going to be 32 out of 32. Good God. Bad as it gets.
The Miami Dolphins.
This was pretty sad to see. Tyreek Hill driving to Hard Rock Stadium for game one against the Jaguars, and he gets pulled over and apprehended, detained, for 105 minutes. 105 minutes, the better part of close to 2 hours. I saw the video, and they had him on the ground, flat on his belly, in handcuffs. I don't know what escalated the situation. There was some report about Tyreek Hill being frustrated, but I would be frustrated too. I'm a star wide receiver for the Dolphins. I'm showing up to my first game in week one, and you pull me over and detain me for what? I think it was some type of, it was just a speeding ticket, right? Is that what we figured out? It was just a speeding violation?
I think so. Yeah. I kept digging for some larger
And then
there wasn't.
They said he didn't take direct orders or whatever, but it's a speeding violation, and you're pulling over the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Putting someone on the ground
I would expect him to be angry. And it's just how quickly it feels like police are willing to sort of dehumanize a guy in that situation just still will always frustrate me. But then it got insult to injury. Calais Campbell, the D tackle that just joined the Dolphins this year, tried to walk over and like talk to him. What the hell's going on? And they ended up detaining him and putting him in cuffs for not following direct orders. Now, I will give the Miami-Dade, I think it's the police chief or somebody like that, the spokesperson, they've gone out of their way to be very open about this. They're going to release the dash cam footage and the body cam footage, and they have basically taken up the officers that did the arresting are on leave right now, so they've responded well, but it never should have happened. I think it's that simple. These types of things never should happen. It's like the Scottie Scheffler thing. And I will give Tyreek Hill credit. 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown right after that. And he did the celebration with Jaylen Waddle where he was getting arrested. So
pretty good.
Pretty damn good. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. Now, I hope you enjoyed a bottle of Old Dom over the weekend. I really do. Because you got to watch college football week two. We got to see a little bit of NFL week one. But I hope you're still not buying that national brand you've been buying for years, because that's not the way to go. We have a distillery in town that gives you fresh, full spirits right here in this city. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. The distillery is here. Make sure you go visit it on 305 South Front Street. They have events all the time. You can book a tour and tasting, olddominic.com. You can check their products out there. You can ship Old Dominic Spirits at olddominic.com. Get them as a gift. I know I do it at the holidays because my family loves that whiskey and that bourbon. But all you got to do is go to olddominic.com, ship those anywhere in the United States of America. And always remember that Old Dominic is the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. 2 bar locations inside FedEx Forum. You could be watching a Tiger game, Grizzly game, comedian, concert, whatever it is, go to one of those 2 bar locations and enjoy a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. Now, we need to get into small talk, and we're going to do an ode to James Earl Jones, who passed away today at the age of 93. We'll do some reminiscing on the other side right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. And Small Talk is not the way we should term this segment, but at the same time, you have to carve out some time to talk about an absolute titan of the film industry. James Earl Jones passing away at 93 today. Connor delivered the news to me while we were doing our pre-show meeting, and it's brutal to hear. Lived a very full life, no question about it. Was born not that far. I mean, he's born in Mississippi, just an absolute titan of the game. I mean, when I think of him, I just think of my childhood watching Sandlot, watching Field of Dreams, Lion King, like all those different movies, the narration that he had. He had an unmistakable voice. I think there's two guys that I think of when it just comes to narration and the voices. You just hear it and you know who it is and you always respect it. I think Morgan Freeman and James Earl Jones definitely fit that category. But we lost an absolute titan of the industry. And, you know, What always has been insane about, you know, thinking about James Earl Jones and his life and what he had become and what he is, will continue to be. He fought a stutter in the first years of his life. To think about a guy who is like that legendary of a voice and a narrator having to deal with that, you don't put those things together. But James Earl Jones gone at 93.
A monumental loss, truly, and one of the most powerful voices.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Voices we have ever had. We lost a lot of prestige and wisdom today as a society with James Earl Jones no longer being here. Just to be Darth Vader and to be bigger than that as a person, do you know how difficult that is? That Darth Vader isn't just the first thing everybody thinks of when you hear James Earl Jones. You think of Mufasa. You think of Coming to America. You think of The Sandlot. You think of his unreal monologue, which is in the Baseball Hall of Fame from Field of Dreams. He is amazing in Doctor Strangelove. He's amazing in The Hunt for Red October. His Broadway performances may have even been better than his screen performances. He had 3 Tony Awards. He had 2 Emmy Awards. He had a Grammy Award. Just truly one of the greatest we have ever seen and will ever have. It is, I don't think this is hyperbole. It is one of the biggest losses of my lifetime so far.
Yeah, and he ought to have a spot in Cooperstown, too, with the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I'm sure he does. I do wonder probably if has he some, does. Yeah. With Sandlot, The Sandlot and Field of Dreams.
Right.
He's probably
And then this surfaced today, and I hate to say, like, I was ignorant to this. This is the first time I've ever seen it, but it honestly gave me some chills. Did you see the resurfacing of 93 All-Star Game, him reciting? just the using his voice, anthem. Not singing,
yeah.
reciting the national anthem
mm-hmm.
with a chorus behind him, a choir behind him, just sort of
power.
That's nuts.
Power.
That's nuts. But it was like when we talk about like the great narrators and the great voices that you hear, and it's just like it makes the moment bigger. Morgan Freeman and him just undefeated in that realm.
Undefeated. It made me genuinely sad. I will absolutely be watching a James Earl Jones movie tonight.
What are we picking?
Honestly, maybe The Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
It's really good. Dr. Strangelove is very good, too. He just doesn't do much in that because he's so young in it. I mean, Field of Dreams and The Sandlot are the big ones, for sure. The Lion King, of course, if you want to hear his voice. Star Wars, yes, but he's not performing in that one. It's just his voice. Yeah. He's not the actual actor. So, I mean, you have a lot of choices. I mean, but you also could go to, you know, find clips of him performing Fences on Broadway
yep.
online. If a lot of people know that movie because of Denzel. He remade it. He made it a few years ago, but it came originally from Broadway. If you haven't seen James Earl Jones do Fences, oh, boy, yep. go watch that.
Yep. But rest in peace to James Earl Jones, passed away today at 93 years of age, and he definitely will be missed. Now we need to get to hour number three, and we'll go ahead and lead it off talking some more college football, get to week two, look ahead to Florida State versus Memphis. Harold Grader, the associate executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, will join the Gabe Kuhn Show next.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.